Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. And Happy New Year to you. A new year, 2025. Later I'm going to share a prayer for the new year, but that's just in a little while. So in some parts of the life of the church, tomorrow is recognised as Epiphany. And we pick up on that this morning by focusing on Matthew chapter 2, which is the visit of the Magi. And so Epiphany is a time when we think about the way that Christ has been revealed. So Epiphany is to reveal, to manifest, to show, and a little bit more about that shortly. But particularly here, it's where the Christ child is revealed to these strangers, these foreigners from the East. And so Epiphany is, again, some parts of the life of the church, is the last day of the 12 days of Christmas. From Christmas Day, if you count 12, you get to January the 6th, which is Epiphany. And so today, we continue with the Christ. But also a word of welcome to those of you who are listening through the recording of the service, and we're so glad that we're able to share together in this way, and may you know God's blessing as you listen and join with us in that way. So we thank God for his gift to us in Jesus, and we thank God that through Christ, his light has come into the world and made it possible for us to see, and in seeing, to rejoice. God's truth, God's love, God's very self transforms all who receive God. A prayer. Loving God, Emmanuel, we thank you for being with us, for sending your Son to walk with us and to lead us. Grant that the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of which we have heard and spoken of throughout Advent and Christmas may be fully realized in us as we worship and serve you through Christ Jesus our Lord, both now, in this new year, and forevermore. Amen. The Old Testament reading that is set down for Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 60. And before we sing our first hymn for today, we hear these verses from Isaiah 60. Some selected verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Naobah shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. And so let's sing a carol that speaks of the visit of the Magi. And yes, it is carol. We're still singing some carols. As with gladness, men of old.
Thank you.
God, we come before you. Please cleanse us and renew us as we come to you with sincerity, humility, and a readiness to be transformed. As you reveal Jesus as your beloved Son, help us to see his light more clearly and to follow in his way more closely. We bring our hopes, our fears, our doubts, and our joys into your holy presence, knowing that you receive us with mercy. Fill us with your Spirit, empowering us to live as your beloved children in this world. You are the source of all life, who reveals your Spirit to us and calls us into a deeper love for you and one another. Yet, O Lord, we confess that we often fall short of this calling. Too often we have allowed fear to limit our compassion, judgment to cloud our kindness, and indifference to turn us away from those in need. We confess our struggle to transform into the people you want us to be, often holding on to what is comfortable, instead of reaching out in the love as Jesus taught us. Forgive us, O God. Renew us in your Spirit and help us as we continue to seek him and to follow him. We're thankful for all that you've done for us in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Help us to carry your love into the world, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, our God. In the name of Christ. Amen. John chapter 3 verse 17 says to us that indeed God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Hear then God's word of grace to us. It is in and through Christ that our sins are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Now shortly I'll invite you to share a greeting of peace. And just a reminder, as I've done the last few weeks, that this is that are going around. And so I encourage you perhaps to share just with those nearby you or from afar, as we do at times as well. So as a renewed and forgiven people, we are able to know the peace of Christ. And the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And not too many things by way of announcement, so I think I'll just mention a couple of very brief things. A reminder that in regards to the Christmas bowl appeal, That continues until mid-January. So today and next week, at the very least, continues to be opportunity to support and give to the Christmas Bowl appeal. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll make particular recognition of the conclusion of that. You've got your orders of service there. There's a couple of other things there that we simply refer you to. And also to mention that next Sunday, so for the message, I'll offer some thoughts, some reflection on our journey as a congregation into 2025. That's for next Sunday. And so to a prayer for this new year. This is the first Sunday that we've gathered since the 1st of January. And so I want to use this prayer, which I've adapted from the Reverend Bruce Pruitt. Most loving God, as we gather together this day, we say farewell to 2024, a year in which we have known much goodness and joy, but also much evil and misery. Help us today, O Lord, to let go of last year without either glamorizing or deriding it, trusting the inexhaustible grace of Christ Jesus to enable us to use the best and to discard the worst. We join our prayers, gracious God, with the church that has served before us and the church that will come after us. O Lord, direct and guide your church with your unfailing care, that it may be diligent in times of quiet and daring in times of trouble. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Another carol that talks of the visit of the Magi, amongst other things, the first Noel, and we'll sing a few verses of this.
Thank you. from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people to Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. T.S. Eliot wrote a poem called Journey of the Magi. And Lyle, you're here this morning. Thanks, Lyle, for drawing my attention to that, which I wasn't aware of. And thanks very much, Lyle, for giving me a copy of that. T.S. Eliot wrote it back in 1927, not long after his baptism, in fact, found out. And then his attending what we would know as the High Church Anglican, Church tradition. I actually came across a recording of T.S. Eliot reciting Journey of the Magi, and I want to play only just the second stanza of that poem, and so the words will be up on the screen here, and the voice that you hear is T.S. Eliot. Going to offer an English literature review or critique of his poem, but it's interesting to read what one commentator said about T.S. Eliot's poem. They said, "This poem depicts a difficult and arduous journey, conveying the physical and emotional hardships endured by the Magi as they sought the newborn Christ. It shares a similar exploration of spiritual displacement and the search for meaning in a modernizing world. In terms of its historical context, the poem reflects the societal and religious upheaval of the early 20th century, marked by advances as an allegory for the challenges and uncertainties faced by individuals during this period of transition." End of quote. Whew. Now, there's probably a PhD thesis lurking somewhere in that response. But at the very least, it highlights this search for meaning that people have. And that search is not without its difficulty. And we'll touch on that a little bit later. Those of us who have considered the Christmas accounts in both Matthew and Luke across a lifetime would know that Matthew and Luke give very different accounts of the story. In Matthew, there's no census, there's no journey back to Bethlehem, there's no inns, there's no manger, there's no shepherds washing their socks by night, watching their flocks by night. Angels singing praises to God. We have none of that in Matthew. What we have in Matthew is seven verses. That's it. Luke doesn't have the Magi. Luke doesn't have this holy family escaping into Egypt. Luke doesn't have an account of the slaughter of the infants by Herod. And so most of our traditional Christmas material comes from Luke, with the Magi story from Matthew thrown in. Now it's interesting that the first visitors that we hear in both Matthew and Luke, so the first visitors in Luke to Jesus are shepherds. Despised, dirty, shunned shepherds are the first ones that come to Jesus. In Matthew, it's magi from another country. It's foreigners, non-Jews. So whether it be Luke or Matthew, it's really interesting that the first visitors to Jesus are shepherds and magi. So let's look a bit more closely at Matthew 2, 1 to 12, which is the passage that Andrew read for us. Part of the mystery of the Epiphany is the mysterious inclusion of Gentiles among God's people. The Magi are outsiders drawn by the light that marks the birth of this infant king and marks the beginning of this procession of outsiders who see in Jesus, who see in the gospel, the mystery of salvation. Here at the beginning of the gospel, we get a glimpse of something commanded at the end of the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. The Magi, representative of those who are not Jews, belong here in the company of those who worship the Christ child, the infant Messiah. So in the visit of the Magi is an opening of the gospel beyond Jewish bounds, and a pointer, an indicator, a reminder of the church's mission to those beyond itself. To those beyond itself. So Magi. So I imagine across the years there's been some explanation of the Magi. Okay, but if you think of them as some kind of combination of astrologers, magicians, philosophers, interpreters of dreams. Those kind of things. They're the ones way back in Daniel chapter 2 who couldn't tell King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream meant. They were magi. I think the word is magoi, something like that. Okay. And as for being wise, well again, back in Daniel chapter 2, it's not the magi who are wise, it's Daniel who's wise. These magi are far, far from wise in Daniel chapter 2. It's Daniel who shows himself the wise one and is able to tell the king what his dream meant. So for someone in the first century who hears magi come to visit the Christ child, they would go, well, hang on, just these are pagans. These are those who are specialists in the dark arts. What on earth are they doing visiting Jesus? And of course, there's a contrast here. The ones who should have known, the ones who should have had some clue, that is, Herod and his scribes and all of Jerusalem, are completely ignorant of the birth of this new king. And the ones who you would least expect to know turn up knocking on the palace door, asking for direction to the new king. In Matthew chapter 2, the Magi find the child Jesus not because they are wise, they find Jesus revealed his son to them. They have the knowledge that this star that they are following means something, yes. But as to finding Jesus, it's revealed to them. Okay, Epiphany, it's revealed, it's shown them. These Gentiles, these foreigners. But of course, here the Magi are the good guys in the story. So don't get me wrong what I'm saying. They're the good guys here. They're forerunners of those who will come to worship King Jesus from all lands. They follow God's revelation to them. And what distinguishes them in the story is that of their sincere and persistent search for the baby born King of the Jews, as they describe him. Throughout their journey, they are clearly led by God. There's the star, there's the text from Micah that lead them to their goal. And when it's time to leave, they're warned, again, divine leading, to go a different way. So the Magi don't stumble onto Jesus. They search with purpose and are directed each step of the way by God's hand. Let's look at the next section, verses 13 to 18, which is the rest of the story, which is not easy reading. If we see in the Magi the presence of those non-Jews who are found worshipping Jesus, and Herod represents those imposing and conspiring powers and forces that are threatened and ultimately frustrated by Jesus. So we have a stark contrast between King Jesus and King Herod. Herod is fueled by his perception that he had been deceived by the Magi, and out of fear of the possibility of another king rising to threaten him, puts something into place which we find incredibly, deeply disturbing and profoundly sad. He orders the execution of children 2 years and under in and around Bethlehem. And here is highlighted the stark contrast again between Jesus and Herod. Herod was a cruel, despicable, jealous, bordering on paranoid ruler. In commentating on this passage, Meta Stamper said that all Jerusalem is frightened at the prospect of a competing king to trouble ruthless Herod. A troubled Herod is a dangerous Herod. By contrast, Jesus, troubled when he sees Mary of Bethany weeping, raises her brother Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, troubled when he realizes he will soon die, embraces the hour for the glory of God. Jesus, troubled that one of his own is about to betray him, comforts his friends and promises them infinite joy to come. That is where a troubled spirit leads Jesus. A troubled Herod is moved to cunning and violence. End of quote. We don't hear anything from Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, nor do we see him do anything except to be there and then to flee with his family into Egypt and then return. But Jesus remains the central figure in this chapter. The entire movement of the story revolves around the fact that Jesus is the King of Israel. The King Magi describes him. Now, the story can speak to us in all kinds of ways. And I'll just put that. Hang on. Here we go.
Oh, sorry.
Whoops. Have we got that other slide there? This one here. Oh, you do it, Wendy. That's fine. Oh, and then. Gemma, I think you had this one at Christmas. No, the Sunday before Christmas. And I saw that when we had that, and I thought, wow, that is just extraordinary. And I just want to leave that up. That here's this. Do you know where that is?
Syria.
It's in Syria, okay. And there's this Christmas tree amongst the destruction. In many ways, this story from Matthew 2 speaks to us in all kind of ways. And this is one of the ways that it can speak to us. And certainly when we reflect upon the plight of refugees, tyrant dictators who rule through fear that they engender amongst their people. It can speak to us when we reflect on the tragic death, especially intentionally, of children throughout the world through abuse, hunger, neglect. And we have a little bit of a glimpse of that as we hear about Destiny Rescue's work, for example. Indeed, we simply have to admit that when we look at this story in Matthew chapter 2, that it's a horrible story. It's this world here. As Scott Hotze reflects, every day the news is filled with the same thing that we hear in Matthew 2. It may not be as a direct response to Jesus or the gospel. Sometimes it is. No matter which, the children of Gaza have been dying for a long time now. In Israel, in Lebanon, in Ukraine, in South Sudan. The story can speak to us in all kinds of ways. And it can certainly speak to us when we reflect on those who search for truth. Those who step into the unknown in search of something or someone who will ultimately be the reason for their journey in the first place. And one task, one question that confronts us is how to make Christ manifest or known to a world that doesn't know where to look for him, or indeed not only doesn't know where to look, but does not have the sense that they need to be looking for him. Where do people within our circle of connections look for Jesus? Well, one of the key places they look is you and me. We have pretty good experience of where to look for Jesus. We have got some pretty good clues to pass on as to where to look for him. We are some of the key places that people look. Now, this search by people around us will be phrased in different ways. It's unlikely to be as blatant as the Magi turning up on our doorstep asking, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" But it will come in a different way to us. It will come in different guises. This search will come in the form of a question or a statement from others when they say things like, "I'm sorry to hear about dot. Aren't you concerned that dot, dot, dot? The doctor told me that I need to. I'm not into that church stuff. I went to church years ago, but I've never been back since. Dot, dot, dot. I don't know who I am anymore. Did you hear about that bloke who drove his car into that crowd just before Christmas? I'm not looking forward to this hospital trip tomorrow. I'm going to see my friend in hospital. She's dying and I've got no idea what to say to her." That is some of the ways that this search by others is expressed to us. And to each of these statements or questions, we have the opportunity to respond in a way that reflects faith, that reflects our relationship with Jesus, or rather his relationship with us. We do so not glibly or flippantly, but being genuine and real. And sometimes that will mean saying, I don't understand what's happening to you, and it's not fair. It doesn't make sense. But I know for me, in circumstances like that, I read verses of Psalm 139 that tell me that God's with me no matter where I am or what I'm doing. Or it might be that we say, is it okay that I pray for you over the next few days? Ultimately, it's about pointing to Jesus. And sometimes it might be that we say, come with me, I'll show you. I'm going to reflect a bit more on some of those things next week, but I need to finish. In the visit of the Magi, we see and hear the good news of God's salvation that comes through Jesus, who was born as a Jew, yet reaches far beyond the Jewish people to include those such as strangers from the East, or as we hear later in Matthew's Gospel, a Roman centurion, or a Canaanite woman, you and me. And just as we hear at the beginning, at the birth of Jesus, we're reminded of what we hear at the end of Matthew's Gospel. To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, open to us the way of this new year, the way to you. Help us to follow the light that you have placed in our hearts, and give us courage to go on despite the difficulties, the uncertainties and the doubts. In times of ease, help us not to forget your purpose for our lives. In times of darkness, give us encouragement. When others question us, build us in our resolve to follow in your path. When others attack, defend us with your Spirit, and bring us to the joy, the hope, the peace and the love that you have promised, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we continue to reflect on God's word for us, we continue to worship God with our offering. Fullness of your gifts, Lord, we bring these offerings now, dedicating this to the work of Christ's church. We dedicate also ourselves and pledge that we will live this week in the service of Christ through the power of your Spirit. Amen.
To our dear Holy Father, who art in heaven, we lift up our praise to you from this first Sunday in 2025 with a big hug and much love to you, Lord of hosts, as we come together to share your communion gifts. Praise to you, for your steadfast love never ceases and your mercies never come to an end. We rejoice that they are new every morning and every new year. Great is thy faithfulness, God. We are so thankful for all the small ways you remind us of that each day. When it gets hard to see the little things, thank you for striking us with those bright moments of clarity when your love seems so clear and your promises so true. Thank you, Lord, for being with us now as we pray for our world and our loved ones. Jesus, we pray for the millions who begin the year in pain and tragedy and depression. We pray particularly for the forgotten people whose daily life is marked by armed conflict and gang violence, for all the people affected by the vehicle attacks in Magdeburg and Louisiana, and for those struggling with mental health who find no solace in their community. Please be with them all in their darkness, and please help us all to look gently at each other's scars so we don't fall into endless cycles of blame and accusations that strips life of all of its joy. Please help us listen to our loved ones and the cries for help that aren't always obvious. Please help us listen to our neighbourhood and communities, and please help us, your church, be a positive influence in the lives of our communities. We know how much it has helped us, Lord, and we know in you there is power to save and power to heal. Please help us not get frustrated when there is no miraculous 10-second turnaround after we pray. Please help us not to give up when we ask and ask and ask for help, but the winged chariots don't arrive to save us. We know your ways are not our ways, Father God, so please help us to see the answers we need to see. Nothing worth doing is ever done easy, and we know you are with us for the long haul. Thank you for your guidance, and please God help us all engage with you deeper this year, so we can make it a happier new year for ourselves and the people around us. Thank you for this little patch of earth we call home. Thank you for what was in 2024 and what is to come in 2025. We look forward with hope to a better year than last. And thank you for your love, and thank you for your patience, and thank you always for sticking with us. So happy new year, and we love you.
Prior to communion, we sing the great love of God. Table is an open table. This is the table not of the church but of the Lord, to be made ready for those who love him and who would want to love him more. So come, you have much faith and you have little. You have been here often and maybe not for some time. You who have tried to follow and you who have struggled. Come not because I invite you, it is our Lord, it is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Be present, risen Lord Jesus, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Now let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later on, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this fruit of the vine, the ordinary things of the world which God will make special, and we come to God with our prayers of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these, O Lord, you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we were lost, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, strengthened, and made new again. And so we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed Hosanna in the highest. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and this fruit of the vine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Make us one with him, one with each other, and one in ministry in the world, until at last we feast with him in the kingdom. Amen. And we join together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." And later he took the cup and said, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this and drink." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, we are not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and we shall be whole. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We share now, for all is prepared. Body of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. Blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. We thank you, God, our Father, that through word and sacrament you have given us your Son, who is the true bread of heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service, that our daily living may show our thanks, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We conclude our service this morning with a hymn, "At the Name of Jesus."
Spotless till the last and victorious when
power of the Spirit, we now go forth into the world to fulfill our calling as the people of God, the body of Christ. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.